Greetings, Fry Universe. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Forever Calais' Mom, a story about life, my child's death, and what forever really means. And all. My guest joining me from near Calgary, Alberta, Canada, is author and mom, Laureen Holiski. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
This is a story that's heart-wrenching, a tough story, because it deals with a very personal tragedy that happened in your life. Share with my listeners a little of your background and how this book got to be written.
I'm pretty much as normal a person as anyone can be. I grew up on a farm in southern Saskatchewan. You know, had the same sort of dreams of a white picket fence and life that most young people wanted, at least back in that era, considering I'm 60, so it's a little bit different for the young people now. But then I just, through a series of happenstances, ended up in Hawaii and fell in love and had a beautiful daughter and moved back to Canada and grew up and ended up in Calgary. And it was there that my life took a very sudden and dramatic turn from what I imagined it to be.
Your daughter, Calais, was born in Hawaii, and shortly after that, you returned to Canada, your home country, because you felt it was a better situation for her, and things just didn't work out in Hawaii.
No. You know, sometimes vacation romances tend to not have longevity, and I think that was sort of the situation for me and Calais' dad, Peter.
Your personal background, besides being an author, are there other, I guess, focuses in your life that you have pursued besides the writing of this story?
I'm an analyst by profession. I've worked in several industries. Right now, I'm in the oil and gas industry. My natural nature is to try to understand how things work, and trying to track molecules in gas pipelines fits well with that tendency.
The story of Calais. Share with my listeners how it came about that Calais is no longer with us. What happened to her life, and why was it cut short?
Well, again, we were pretty normal mom and daughter, and the teenage years hit, and she started to go off her path a bit. School became less important. She started hanging out with a new and a higher risk group of friends, and I knew she was in trouble. So after months of, you know, trying to hold on to her, my family and I staged in what I call an intervention, and we sort of tricked her and got her to my parents' ranch for a couple of weeks, thinking that I'll give her some time to get her head back on straight. And I think we accomplished that. When we returned to Calgary, she had sort of one last event she wanted to do with these friends, and sadly enough, it was an overnight camping trip. On the way back, the driver of the car fell asleep. We believe everyone in the vehicle was asleep, and six kids died that day.
Ouch.
In a head-on crash.
Unbelievable. How long ago did that take place? Your daughter was, about 15 at the time?
She was 16 and a half.
16 and a half, okay.
And it would have been 14 years ago this Thursday. Her death anniversary is in a couple of days.
Ouch. And you have spent 14 years thinking and analyzing the circumstances surrounding Calais' death and trying to get your head wrapped around it. What did you finally decide was the purpose for sharing your story?
The real purpose was how many people live this secret life. Nobody wants to be forced into an unimaginable event, whether it's the death of a child, you know, your house gets burned down in a forest fire, cancer, all those things are unimaginable. But what happens is people don't want to know about that world. They prefer it to be unimaginable. So what happens then is everyone that is having to live that way does it in secret. And I think that's just such a crying shame. Here we are wanting to know everything about, you know, sort of what I consider slightly off the wall people through reality shows,
mm-hmm.
and want to look behind the curtain to see how they live. But, you know, their next door neighbor who is having to build a new lifetime in a different world that has many, many, many challenges to it, they don't want to know anything about. So there's not enough written. We kind of tend to stick with, you know, sort of the standard five stages of grief. I believe that we need to add color to that and share more about that, so that not only can the people who are forced into it have more information, but everybody around them can be more empathetic and supportive.
At the time of Calais's death and the burial, and you were visiting her graveside, and at that moment, another individual happened to be there that intersected with your life. Share a little of Sandra's story as well.
Sandra's son, Jarrett, died from a brain aneurysm.
Hmm.
And they had a few years on me in this journey. And I was very fortunate that at that point in her journey, Sandy was ready to finally look up and put her arms around someone else. And I happened to be that someone else.
Beautiful timing and appropriate timing. What did you learn, or what have you taken away from this experience, besides the obvious deep grief that any parent would experience? What have you learned as a person? Is there something that's a positive of this story?
I think that I've, you know, tapped into obviously strengths of myself that I didn't know I had. But I think probably the one thing that gives me pause every now and then is just how much we can push our brains to think far beyond anything we ever thought we could when we really have to. I often tell people, sometimes I thought so hard trying to find the right way to explain an emotion or something that was basically unspeakable that my head hurt from it. But when you have to, you can find ways. And I think we have a whole world of great thinkers out there that just need to push themselves a little bit and maybe share what they learn.
Is there anything in the what I would call, or many people would refer to, as a spiritual blessing or, I guess, discovery that you perhaps made during this journey?
Absolutely. You know, I took faith with a grain of salt. I was a fair weather, you know, God believer. I live every day with faith. My life is surrounded with angels. I do my very best to hold on to faith. It's one of the most slippery things to hold on to, mm-hmm. but I work at it every day.
You have talked also, one of your chapters is titled The Red Phone. What does that chapter deal with?
Basically, what it deals with is a lot of, it was a way that I found to be able to try to illustrate how much time I spent communicating with my dead child, how much time I spent communicating with God, and how that helped me survive those early days and weeks of death.
You have also titled one chapter, Future Blackboard. Is that future hope that you have penned in that chapter?
You know, everyone has a future blackboard. We humans are future-based people. Everything. From this second, you're already writing onto your future blackboard. Most often, we don't put in little things. We put in more major things on our future blackboard. It's just that once we write something on it, it stays on there until that time has come and passed. I struggled with that greatly because most everything on my future blackboard included my child.
Hmm.
So I had to let things like graduating from high school and graduating from university pass. And it wasn't until I took a look at my future blackboard and saw how empty it was that I realized I needed to write something on it. Otherwise, I had no future. And that's where I finally sat down 4 years ago and wrote Forever Calais' Mom on it and committed myself to writing this book.
The story of her life and your life, how would you describe this as a book that would benefit someone who reads this? What is the hope that you have in sharing the story?
I think my hope is that we're more open to talking about things that maybe we're afraid of. But most important is every single parent I've talked to said the one thing they miss the most is saying their child's name. Mm. So to me, that was where Forever Calais' mom came in. I'm communicating, you know, three things. One, I'm still her mom. Two, I get to say her name. And three, by identifying myself in that way, I'm telling people, I'm okay to talk to you about her. You don't have to be afraid to ask. That's what I hope, is that eventually we're okay with hearing the names of the children who have died and be open to supporting parents in that way.
Do you feel that the reader is going to leave the last page of your book and feel uplifted by the outcome of what you have discovered?
I think there'll be a whole bunch of words they'll feel at the end of the book.
Yes.
Changed is probably the one that I have been hearing the most from people who said have read the book. They said that they felt like they walked in my shoes, they felt my emotion, and they walked away changed. Some weren't changed because of the death experience. Some took parts of the different chapters and applied them just to their normal lives, the future blackboard being one of them. So changed. I hope people walk away changed.
Do you feel also that this maybe has some good insight into how we might be able to share with someone who has experienced a deep loss?
Absolutely. You know, we've worn out, you know, anger, blame, depression, those five stages of grief. Every single chapter in the book adds color to those words in ways that I think people will be able to understand and appreciate more.
Lorene, thank you for sharing your story and this very difficult story that you have shared. Forever, Calais' Mom, a story about life, my child's death, and what forever really means. Lorene Hulisky has been my guest. Lorene, where do we get copies of this book?
Well, right now it's all available only online. Because I'm in Canada, the best place is to go to Chapters Indigo, but it's also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Do you think there may be a follow-up book to this release?
There is a follow-up book. It's one that I've been thinking about. I know I'm brave enough to write it. I don't know if I'm brave enough to publish it yet.
Well, best of luck on this this particular book, and hopefully a lot of readers will join in the experience of what you've shared. The title again is Forever Calais' Mom, A Story of Life, My Child's Death, and What Forever Really Means. Lorene Hulisky has been my guest. Thank you, Lorene, for being part of today's program.
You're very welcome.
My pleasure. For iUniverse, this is J. Douglas Barker.